Good evening. Today is Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. This is a special meeting of the Derby Board of Apportionment and Taxation. I am calling this meeting to order at 6:03 p.m. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Mr. Roche?
Present.
Mr. Maine Izzo? Mr. Gray?
Present.
Ms. Corelli? Louise, turn yours back on. There you go.
I'm sorry. Ms. Mancini Wright?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Pirelli Silkoff?
Present.
Ms. Patel?
Present.
Mr. Rivera?
Present.
Ms. Simon?
Present.
Ms. Wobno? You have a quorum, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Item number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. Being that it's a special meeting, there will be no changes. Item number five, public portion. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Third and final, does anybody from the public wish to speak? Public portion will now be closed. Item number six, approval of minutes from the March 18th, 2025 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Ashley, I'll approve.
Motion was made by Ashley. Is there a second?
Jennifer, I'll second.
Seconded by Jennifer. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting minutes passed. Item number seven, Mayor's proposed 2025-2026 budget presentation. Mayor?
Put my cheaters on so I can see my paperwork here. Good evening, everyone. I will read my presentation to you now. My first thing is historical recap. The city of Derby has suffered from 3.8 million budget shortfalls in the last two fiscal years. 2021-2022 fiscal year, 1.9 million. 2022-2023 fiscal year, 1.9 million. The general fund balance shrunk to 2.6 million and was rapidly approaching zero based on the reckless budgeting practices and the poor fiscal management of the past administration. There had been no new increase in the mill rate for many years, despite diminishing fund balance and unbalanced budgets. The Municipal Finance Advisory Commission voted unanimously to designate the City of Derby a Tier 1 municipality, which now requires Derby to appear in front of the Commission on a regular basis. The Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, along with the Board of Apportionment and Taxation, had to take some unfortunate actions. 23-24 fiscal year actions utilized $1.7 million in ARPA funds on unbudgeted governmental services and not on the new capital equipment that was needed. They reduced the pension contribution by $500,000. 24-25 fiscal year actions raised taxes for the 24-25 fiscal year by 4.6 mils or 11.9%. I have committed to you that I would do everything I could to make sure that taxes wouldn't be raised in the 2025-26 budget. I am happy to report that I will be keeping that commitment to you and that my 25-26 budget proposal will not raise taxes. Fiscal report card. Projected to grow the general fund balance to over $4 million. Created a Derby first approved five-year capital plan in many years. Purchased three new police vehicles. Recovered over $900,000 in prior period LOSIP grant funds from the state. That was all, you know, Brian going after that money that the past administration did not go after and was able to achieve that and get that money back to the city of Derby. So great job by Brian on working on that and getting that money for us. Additional road paving incentives, initiatives, and security system upgrades. We now have cameras in City Hall on both floors, and we have cameras on the Board of Education building and Community Center on Fifth Street, which we never had in the past. Aggressive light enforcement is expected to generate $400,000 for Derby Blight Fund. Think about that, $400,000 in a little over a year. Such great work by our corporation counsel, our attorneys, everybody stepping up and actually going after the people that have had blighted properties and did not take care of the situation. It's just a tremendous, you know, thing what they did and brought in $400,000 in a little over a year. So I commend them for doing that. Negotiated a 20% overall increase to the amount we can charge for outside police work, helping to offset the contractual increases for the rest of the police department. 25-26 balanced budget with no tax increases. Budget summary overall. Proposed 25-26 budget decrease of expenses of $300,000 or 0.6% versus 24-25 original budget. Detailed explanations of the major expense categories and revenue drivers are on the following slides. General government, education, and public safety. Future more detailed budget review meetings will be led by our finance director, Brian Hall. General government expenses. Total general government expenses are decreasing by $387,700 or 2.1% versus the 24-25 fiscal budget. Employee medical benefits budgeted to remain flat year on year due to the expected move to the CT partnership, $700,000 savings based on the PWC 8% growth rate projection. ARPA expenses decreased by $425,000 as the remaining ARPA funds were used in the 24-25 budget cycle, and working balance accounts increased by $70,000 will provide additional cushion for future unexpected expenses. Public safety. Public safety expenses are decreasing by $85,000 or 1.5% versus the original 24-25 budget. Police outside work expenses were reduced by $350,000 due to the expected completion of some large roadway and apartment construction projects. Overall profitability for police outside work increased by $197,000 due to the contract negotiations and improved collection rate initiatives. Outside of police outside work expenses, the police budget increased by $235,000, mainly due to contract increase and the extra expense associated with new patrolmen, patrol women. Education. The Board of Education increased by $167,000 versus the original 24-25 budget. However, it is flat to the revised 24-25 budget. The Board of Education was increased by $167,024.25 for the Board of Education employees, insurance buyout amounts, and unemployment compensation expenses that did not get budgeted for by either the city or the Board of Ed. The Board of Ed is hopeful that additional funding from the state and a 24-25 potential budget surplus that could go into a non-lapsing account could be utilized for covering any potential shortfalls in the 25-26 budget. Revenues. The grant list increasing on personal property more than offset the decrease for motor vehicles. Motor vehicle decreased due to the new calculation on the assessed motor vehicle values. State aid increased mainly due to the motor vehicle tax reimbursement, driven by previous year's mill rate increase, partially offset by lower ARPA funds. Other revenue declines were mainly due to lower budgeted police outside work and lower budgeted revenues from the sale of city properties. While we are likely to generate $200,000 in revenues for the sale of city-owned properties in 24-25, we budgeted aggressively that we would sell $754,000 worth of property. Most of this shortfall will be covered by blight fines that were collected. However, those proceeds will be put aside in a separate blight remediation fund and not in the general fund. I am proposing a conservatively budget only $50,000 in the 25-26 for the sale of city properties. Recap. No increase in the mill rate was needed to balance this year's budget. Thank you to all the department heads who found ways to keep their budgets flat despite having to manage contractual and inflationary increases. Thank you to the residents of Derby for your continued patience with the Main Street Revitalization Project. Continued investment in economic initiatives is critical to growing revenue in the long term and decreasing or eliminating future mill rate increases. That is my presentation. Brian and I worked really hard on this. After a big mill rate increase last year, we really wanted to keep the taxes down this year and have no increase. We were able to do that. The department heads really looked at their budgets and tightened the string on them. So we were able to do this. So that is my presentation, and I'm here for any questions, or Brian can answer any questions that you may have.
So for, I'm on the financial report card for the negotiated 20% increase for the outside police work. And I think you might have answered it later on in the presentation. I know last year there was a lot of difficulty in having outside entities actually pay for contracted services. Are we doing better with securing the monies that are owed?
I want to handle that because their department's handling that.
Yeah, so absolutely. So in addition to getting the additional margin, we have really ramped up our collection efforts with phone calls, additional mailings, many things that just weren't ever being done in the past, which has absolutely helped improve those collection rates and got us to, you know, what we're expecting for next year.
Okay. Has this generated additional income for the current fiscal year?
It has not yet, because it's going into effect right now. Because we had to wait until the police contract was signed and effective. But I think over the last 2 weeks, it started to kick in. So we should start to see something in the back half of this year from now until June.
Okay, so the contract is currently in effect?
Yes.
When did the 20% increase go into effect? Do we know?
Probably like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, the record should reflect that at 6:18 p.m., Ms. Wobno entered the meeting.
Okay, thank you. On the Board of
Budget, we know this current year, and to get out of go before the Board of Alders, too, there was some confusion.
Hey, Colleen, we lost your mic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So with the Board of Education budget, I know there was some confusion as far as who was going to be paying for the pension contributions to the 403Bs for Board of Education employees, and also the insurance waivers. Is there clarity on who is doing that now?
Yes, there absolutely is. So the Board of Ed will be budgeting for the expenses that they're ultimately going to be paying for on their side, whereas the 401A contribution, since the city, it comes out of actually our accounts, we budgeted for on our end. So you should see a large increase in the 401A funding line in this year's budget number as a result of that change.
Okay, but as far as the waivers, the Board of Education is taking that over?
Correct, and that's why after they got a revised budget for this year to include those waivers, because they had to pay out the expenses, and now next year it's assumed that it's in their budget. So hopefully this is the last time we have to ever discuss or have to come back and ask for any kind of increased budget for that particular, for those items.
I had a question about the insurance. Part of it's indicated that we would be moving over to the partnership plan. Is this already in the works and due to take effect July 1st, or that's a topic of conversation and a hopeful expectation?
I think it's right now it's an expectation, and we're in the middle of public works contract negotiations right now. The school, I know, are in the middle of their contract negotiations. So we're waiting to get some reports back from the broker on both plans, the self-insured and the Connecticut partnership, and make a decision from there very shortly. And then we would have to negotiate it with the union too.
Yeah, I mean, financially, it does seem like the Connecticut partnership is the better financial option. But certainly there will be some challenges with making sure that, you know, it's equal to or better than what everyone currently has. We have every belief and expectation that that is what we can accomplish. Our brokers have said the same, and we'll be working heavily over the next couple months so that we can hit that July 1st date as well.
And just being familiar in my role as a negotiator, I can tell you usually the partnership plan has such a rich level of benefits. Typically, it's not, you know, something that is feared by many. The plan is very rich, but there just does have to be notification in order to get each individual unit on board. Does anybody else have any questions on this portion? I do have some on the ears. Yeah.
Save some for me for a little bit, all right?
Okay, and just one other statement. I too want to commend Mayor, not only this administration, but definitely Brian, because when I'm looking at these numbers of where we were when you first started, certainly, you know, future was dismal at that point. Definitely looking at the general fund balance at that point and seeing it spiral down to zero, you know, to see that We are on our way to recovery. I saw the budget presentation of what the expectation is for next year, and it's really remarkable. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ryan has done a great job, and he was a great find first couple of weeks in office, and we were able to get him on board, and thankfully he stayed, and he likes working there.
And thank you, all of you. I know there was a lot of difficult decisions. You've all had a lot of criticisms in social media or wherever else. And it's not an easy job that you all have as well. And none of it would mean anything that I'm doing if you didn't follow through with a lot of your actions. So I really do appreciate that, too.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Item number 8, the detailed review of the 2025-2026 proposed budget by the Finance Director, Brian Hall.
All right, well, thank you, everyone. I don't think so. I'm just going to start with going through some of these expense items. You certainly use that summary page, and we'll kind of walk through the accounts, and I'll just talk a little bit about what's driving some of the variances in the accounts, but feel free to stop me or jump in at any point if anyone has any questions. And as always, I'm always available. If you want to talk to me after this meeting or something comes up, you want to see some additional information, I'm happy to add it best I can. All right.
Thank you.
Just starting with the expenses at the top with the mayor's account, this increase is being really 100% driven by contractual increases to the city whole union contracts. It's a little bit steeper than you might think from the 24-25 budget versus the 25-26 budget. And you're going to see this kind of throughout some of these departments. And that is because the 24-25 budget did not reflect the increases in 24-25 because some of those contracts were not finalized as of the time we struck this budget last year. What we did was we put a large amount of money in the special working balance with the expectation that we would likely need to use that to fund some of these increases that were most likely to get passed. So that's why those increases are definitely a little bit bigger. I mean, you saw it, we talked about it with the police department as well when they had their presentation. As far as the finance administration goes, again, you've got some of these increased for contractual increases in there. But as I did commit, is having been a lot more familiar now with some of the inner workings with not only the finance office, but also the tax office, I was able to really reevaluate what the shared services looks like between the city and WPCA, and was very comfortable increasing that in-kind service allocation for all of the work that has to be done. And that's what's allowing that particular bucket to actually go down year on year versus the last budget. The finance committee is going to be flat. The tax assessor's office, again, we got some contractual increases. The training education had been kind of rolling into salaries, so I wanted to break that out going forward. And then lowered a little bit of the reevaluation expense expected for next year. So while next year will be the reevaluation, there are expenses and things that can get kicked off in this year's budget. So you'll notice this year's budget, we had budgeted almost $100,000 this year. I would love to be able to spend 50 of that this year. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think the more we're able to spend this year, in a year where I'm feeling pretty comfortable, we're gonna hit our number. The more likely we can have some upside next year. But, there's still a lot to do and figure out between now and then. So I've still put most of that $90,000 in, but it did shave a little bit off because I know we will do something this year to help kick that off. The tax collector's office, again, is just kind of contractual increases and some staffing changes with a mix. The the treasurer's department, there, you know, there was an ask to increase that by one of the Board of Alders members. And so, you know, that's something we have to, you know, think about. We haven't had a treasurer for quite a while now. I know there was maybe some concern around the amount of money that was in there to try to get somebody with any kind of experience, right? I mean, the pension, there's almost $20 million in assets at the end of the day that this person has control over and can decide, you know, how we're going to invest, what companies we're going to use. So, you know, we really don't want just anyone in that role. We want somebody who is a financial expert, and not that this is a ton more money, but hopefully it's enough to really make sure we do find somebody who has that experience and, you know, is willing to kind of work with us at Derby and help manage those assets. So we've kept legal flat. I think, you know, this is an area we did consolidate some of the buckets into just legal services and labor council. This hopefully will avoid some of the transfers that we've had to do in the past couple of years with some of these other buckets. You know, as Joe's mentioned, we, you know, the legal team has done a great job, especially on the areas of blight. Some of those expenses we are able to kind of put against some of those blight funds that have come in. Other ones, you know, are going to stay in the general fund. But we think, you know, budgeting flat for now makes sense. I'd say if there's one area of risk a little bit this year and probably next year, it's legal, just because really quickly those things can kind of start to add up. Human resources, again, contractual increases, information technology. We have some contractual increases on the financial software piece of it. I think there's probably, again, maybe a little bit of risk here as we're working through the PD and what their new solution is going to look like from a tech stack and from a security perspective. So that may impact things. But again, I think I've got some room as far as where some allocations that need to go to WPCA potentially are in this bucket. As we're both leveraging the same financial software and systems and everything else. So there's certainly an allocation merited there. The town clerk, again, contractual increases, registered voters. We didn't budget for a primary this year. That could be a risk if one happens, but everything I've heard right now is that we likely will not need one. We will not be getting a lot of funding to help offset these costs. So as far as early voting goes and the cost of the elections, the city's going to have to bear that burden. And so we've budgeted accordingly. The insurance side of things, expect these insurance to go up a bit. You know, some of this is driven by claims, which can, you know, ebb and flow. So it's a little bit difficult to kind of budget that exactly. However, I will definitely expect an increase in these two policies for our cyber insurance and our fireman's insurance, and we'll see where we net out on the liability side. No, I won't go through detail on some of these other ones that are pretty flat. The police have already given their budget presentation. This is pretty much a reflection of exactly what they asked for, with the only difference being I did lower that outside work wages by $350,000.
They have COVID. They closed
just to adjust kind of how the overall profitability looks like. You know, now that we are going to be profitable there, we do want to be careful with what we budget and assume, and not put such a large number in that, you know, it's just going to be unachievable and create an actual problem for ourselves. Again, similar on the fire department. Gary went through his presentation. Everything in here is pretty much aligned with what he's asked for. There's no changes. most of these next couple of departments, building inspectors, you know, city hall maintenance is up a little bit because of contractual increases. The rest of them are all relatively flat. And we're able to get that work. Same thing on the highway department. Director Mike Pishkinary did a great job keeping his budget flat despite managing some of these contractual increases. City engineer expenses, you know, we have been running a little bit hot on property and zoning engineering services. This is an important expense, right? It drives a lot of revenues as far as getting permits and things like that. So I think there's not an exact correlation where you can say, all right, budget this many dollars in engineering services and equates to this much on revenue. But what I can tell you is this does generate hundreds of thousands of dollars of fees that the city gets to collect. So, you know, whether it's ends up at 15 or 20 or whatever, you're more than offsetting it on the revenue side. And you know, whatever it's going to be is it's going to be. We just have to kind of manage accordingly and understand that we do get the benefit on the revenues. Sanitation, this is accounted for the contractual increase that's already been agreed upon. I cleaned up a little bit of geography where things are hitting. Yeah, on the parking division, they're, you know, we're going to have a little bit less expense. The elevator, really, we got rid of the maintenance program there because we've got to come up with a bigger solution for that parking garage to get that elevator working. Until we do, there's really no point in continuing to pay those fees. And again, the parking ticket expense has been a lot lower as we just haven't been putting around as many tickets with all of the work that's been going on the streets. Just some, again, contractual increases on the fire hydrant side of things. On the health services, you know, VEMS, their ask has kind of gone up year over year over year. You know, the mayor has done a great job trying to keep them down. You know, this he's pushed back as they've asked, but nonetheless, some increase is still had to get put in. The senior center was another department that did a great job staying flat. Despite a lot of the other increases that they had to work through. The community development. So, you know, we've had this large amount of money in there for citywide properties. I've come before you and talked about potentially, you know, transfers that were needed where we would have leveraged a lot of these particular funds. You know, with this big blight fund that's now been created, we do have some money in that account to do some things that probably would have fallen in that bucket of citywide properties, you know, in the rare occasions where they have occurred. But, you know, as such, this just was a good place to, you know, pare back and give us some large budget savings to kind of take care of these other smaller ones that have creeped up throughout the different departments. That said, I did leave the matching grant allocation of $100,000 in the budget. You know, we really haven't typically used that. I know recently we've got some good news about some grant monies that we were able to win, but I don't believe there was a match on some of those. I know we are going to apply for some IT grant funds that do have a match, again, related to some of the new IT work at the PD. So I think, look, prudent to leave it in, and it's great if we do end up spending it because that means we got some money from the state as well. The new library director did great keeping her budget flat. Appreciate that. The community, the Parks and Recreation went up a little bit. Really is kind of their summer camp program, continues to grow and expand. Seems like a very great program for the city of Derby. I know it was free to a lot of the residents. So that's had a lot of success. We want to continue to make sure that's funded properly. and, you know, has everything they need. And then repairs and maintenance on some of the buildings just continues to climb. The education budget, so again, Mayor spoke to this, well, while it does look like it's up compared to the last budget that was passed, really after the adjustments and factoring in, in my mind, it's really flat, and it takes care of those budget problems that we were talking about, Colleen.
Thanks, Stockton.
Going forward.
One second, Brian, I think there's a question. Jose?
No, that wasn't me. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I think somebody has their microphone off. I mean, on.
Okay. Thank you.
As far as the capital perspective, we'll keep everything flat year on year. The capital committee will continue to review and pass their five-year plan. I think this is a very small piece of their overall plan and what's going on. And it allows them to kind of tackle that first while they discuss some larger big ticket items that we would likely need some sort of bond funding in order to accomplish. But at least this allows us to get some things done, like security upgrades, like, you know, buying the police cars and a few of the other things that we were able to do over the last couple of years. As far as some of these citywide agencies go, again, a few of the increases just from requests. Some of this was cleaned up as far as items that I've just now on year two have never materialized, and I'm not sure how they got there originally, right? So starting to be able to recognize, identify some of those things and remove them from the budget. And then we'll again have another 50,000 in for the Celebrate Derby 350, in addition to the 50,000 that's in this year's budget. Our bond expenses are going down a little bit. That's just the natural runoff that's occurring. We haven't issued a lot. We haven't issued any new debt since I've been here. On the WPCA side, we actually paid down some debt. There is money in here in the event we are able to spend a lot of that road bond money, and we do want to bond it out in October. We'll have the funds to make sure we take care of the interest and some of the fees that are going to be associated with that potential transaction. It might be nice to hold off again if the capital committee decides they do want to do a referendum and the people of Derby agree, then I might be able to roll a lot of that together and do one offering and get some synergies and some cost savings with doing that. You know, our LOSIP funds, the expenses go up, but that's, you're going to see on the revenue side that the revenues come up. So this is really just a pass-through. We talked a little bit about the working balance going up versus last year's budget numbers. You know, the special working balance is coming down again because that's really for just kind of contractual increases. At this point, you know, we're only going to be handling the public works in this budget cycle. So we don't need as much, but then I was able to shift the money back into the working balance where we can, in theory, use it for whatever comes up along the way. The Social Security costs, I mean, that's just a function of the salary. So if salary goes up, these fringe costs are going to go up. On the employee benefit side, right? So the reason to keep this flat was because of the expected change into the Connecticut partnership. So I do hope that happens. You know, we will continue to work with our brokers on that to make that a reality. I'm very hopeful that all the unions and the employees are supportive of it because it, you know, it's not only important for this budget cycle, but for the future budget cycles, right? Getting those costs under control and not it call it 8, 9, 10% growth rates a year is going to be really key in not, you know, and allow us to not raise taxes this year, but also keeping them down in the future.
I think, you know, just to touch on that, there was seemingly a lot of There was seemingly a lot of carryover from people that might have retired or left the city of Derby, notified the city that they actually left the city of Derby, and yet their name was never removed from the roster. I can remember when I first got this position, several people coming to me saying, hey, I retired, I notified the city, and yet they still have me as covered. I'm still getting cards and everything. So I think even the switch to a different insurance carrier, especially one like the partnership plan, might be a good thing just to pick out the weeds.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, the human resource director has done her best to try to fix some of those problems. But, you know, even after all that, we're still really having a heavy claims year. Now, we budgeted appropriately and we're going to be fine, but it, you know, it's just not sustainable.
Sure.
9-10% increases on $10 million, right? It just, you start to get to really some huge numbers quickly. You know, lastly, really is retirement. You'll see the increase mostly because of the 401A, which is a reflection of making sure that the Board of Ed piece is now being appropriately budgeted for and paid for by the city going forward. So that's kind of on the expense side, high level, what was going on. On the revenue side, I think the real positive things the mayor spoke about was the municipal transition motor vehicle tax increasing by a little under $500,000. Again, that was a result of us raising the mill rate last time, which now has its trickle effects this time around. That was helpful, as well as, again, the grand list in general growing, which is always what you want. We're able to pick up some money there.
And the changes to the legislation, isn't there new legislation that's going to impact the car tax?
Correct. So the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen passed and approved what they call like a local ordinance, which allows us to adjust the property values for motor vehicles and should increase what the grand list is on those and thus increase the taxes. So that will be a little bit of upside to what's here. I'm still waiting from the assessor to get the final numbers. Perhaps over this week, we'll see if before we pass it, we have it. But worst comes to worst, we'll have a little bit of cushion there, again, for some any kind of unforeseen things that happen in the future. I've also broken out what current year motor vehicle tax collection rates are versus property tax rates are, just so, you know, again, another level of detail helps me budget a little more accurately and helps me also understand where maybe we're struggling a bit and where the opportunity is to get more money from taxes. And, when you combine it, you see the 96.6. When you break it apart, well, all of a sudden now you realize, okay, well, we're up over 98% on property, but clearly the issue is on motor vehicle taxes, where it's around 83. I think this can be somewhat to be expected, right? However, it clearly points out where we can, have some impact, sending out notices, putting hold so folks can't register their vehicles if they haven't paid their taxes. I think there are a lot of levers you can start to pull to try to improve those collection rates. And now it gives us two metrics to sort of track and see how we're doing against, as opposed to blending it all together into one. From a revenue standpoint, yeah, I think, those are really the main things I want to touch on. Again, you'll see a little bit more breaking things out into their own buckets, just so we've got more visibility and a better understanding of where the tax dollars are coming from, whether they're coming from interest and liens, are they coming from the current year, are they coming from the past year. All of that's just helpful in future budgeting, but also then understanding from an actual perspective, how are we doing? Do I have any problems anywhere? And making sure that, nothing's getting missed because it was all blended together into one big bucket, which is not what you want. And then lastly, look, there's the wages by department. that are in here, and this feeds the bigger sheets, right? So if you look at the department, you should be able to add up everything on this sheet, and it'll tie to the total on your bigger sheet. So this gives you a little bit of that detail. Again, this was provided last year as well, but just so you have it. Happy to go back through anything else or talk in more detail, or we could certainly, we'll be regrouping soon, so we can do it a future date, or like I said, I'm available anytime. Send me an email, let me know what your questions are. Happy to help.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Definitely, because you were so thorough, you know, several of the questions that I had were answered in your explanation. So I do thank you. I'm wondering if anybody else on the team has questions.
Brian, just the parking garage. Do we still have those people that are, Laz is still operating it, or?
Right, so currently Laz is still handling a lot of the collections for the parking garage, right? So the technology is actually Laz's. So, you know, when you go in the parking garage and you see, download the app and put the number in, right? That's all Laz's technology. So it's still, you know, important that we have some way of residents kind of easily paying for parking. Otherwise, you're back to putting somebody in the box and collecting in and out. I know, again, the administration is looking at some options around that parking garage, potentially selling it or leasing it to someone else. They may decide to go with a different vendor or do something differently there. But at this point, yeah, we're still utilizing Laz.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and mainly, again, that technology component, right? If you take that out of the equation, well, what do you do? You know, you got to find somebody to fill that gap.
So just a couple of quick comments. Just there are definitely some assumptions in the budget that I think we need to be careful of. You know, one of them being grants across the board, whether it's in the BOE or on the town side for revenues. You know, some of the town side ones are tied to the state budget, which doesn't come out until mid end of May. So there's money there that we would be counting on, that you don't know for sure. It's always a risk. BOE side, you're looking at some federal grants that may take some cuts in the future based on higher government. We're also talking about the insurance switching over to the Connecticut partnership, which doesn't sound like it's a 100% done deal. So again, another assumption, you know, what's the fallback if that doesn't come true? And we're still, you know, we still have a lot of these claims that, like you said, builds big numbers very quickly. So just some things to keep in mind as we're going through and we're having our deliberations about this budget and whether or not, you know, we're going to approve the budget as is. I think there's still some discussion we need to have around some of these assumptions. You know, another one would be the BOE surplus, which is helping them to stay flat. I'd like to see at least a number of where we're at now. What's a pretty good projection of where they see themselves at the end of the year? I know Dr. Conway shared that a little bit, but I think now that we're in April, maybe we can get a little closer to that number. Some of the numbers here are February actuals. If we could get some more actuals of what we're looking at for end of year. But again, there definitely are some assumptions in here. I don't want people to think that, oh, we're in great shape here. There's still some unknown here, you know. It's not all a done deal. And I'm not saying that you're trying to pass it off as a done deal, Brian. That's not what I'm saying at all. I truly appreciate the work you've done. This is really the most information that we've had. I've been on the board now, I think, 7 years. This is really the most information. It's historic. It goes back a few years. Your explanations have been detailed. So I certainly, speaking for myself, have a much better understanding of the citywide budget. And where we're looking at right now. But I think we still definitely have some unknowns. That's all I'm saying. So, but I appreciate all the work you and the mayor have done to really present a budget that makes sense and in my eyes is transparent.
I appreciate that. And you're absolutely right. You know, I think in my corporate days, as I've been putting budgets together for a long time, you know, what you miss, I guess, is some of that pushback from the top when you're putting a budget together. And, you know, oftentimes folks are very conservative and they say we need all this money. And then, you know, it comes from the top. No, not going to happen. And, you know, maybe that's not necessarily, I know Joe obviously was pushing for the flat budget on our side to make it happen. But I do feel like there's right now it's pretty balanced. So you're right. There's absolutely some assumptions and some risks associated with it. But there are a few opportunities as well in here that I think are fair. And so overall, in general, I think it's balanced, the risks and the opportunities, which is the best you can kind of hope for doing any budget, whether it's for your own business, the city, or anywhere else.
What would be, and thank you, and I think definitely they're good points, what would be the impact to this budget in the event that, you know, for whatever reason, we can't get the partnership plan through all of the bargaining units to get approval?
Yeah, so I expect it probably would be about $700,000 of a shortfall that we'd have to solve. Now, like I said, there's a little bit more on this revenue side from the motor vehicle when that gets done. You've got a pretty large working balance, but I don't know that we could overcome all of that. We'd probably need some luck as far as where the claims come in and hopefully, you know, some initiatives with our broker around trying to drive claims lower. But it would be tough. You know, it would be very tough to not have a potential budget deficit if that were the case.
Yeah, and I do hear that, okay, we did have conversations with Public Works and, you know, maybe somebody from the Board of Ed. I represent the paras, and I can tell you that I've not been notified, so I would hope that sooner rather than later, because even though I do know, it's a great plan. I know how rich it is. Definitely, if it's a cost-saving measure to boot, I think it would be a no-brainer, but it doesn't mean that the conversations don't have to happen sooner rather than later, especially with that kind of impact. So I'm hoping we could maybe reach out to you know, department heads through the city as well as the Board of Education just to move forward in, you know, starting to raise this topic with all the bargaining units. I think it's a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've also been in touch with Dr. Conway, who I thought was, you know, he mentioned in some of this in discussions, but maybe not. So maybe I'll have to be a little more vocal myself as far as communicating.
But I think too formally, you know, somebody mentioning in passing, hey, yeah, they're looking at doing this, as opposed to, hey, we're having an informational session on possible change to the SPP. We've got agents coming from the state. I've been in numerous meetings, you know, and I'm sure you have too, Mike, where they literally come in, you invite department heads, union presidents to sit, hear what they have to say, just as an initial, you know, breakthrough. And then you have informational sessions in a couple weeks out with all the employees of each particular unit. But it is a long process. It's tedious. So I know we're a few months out from the end of the fiscal year, but I do think it needs to, we need to move forward.
Our city's broker laid out a timeline for us around exactly like you're saying. You know, when are those communications going to start to happen? When are those meetings going to happen? They were all tentatively scheduled in April. So really, this should happen very quickly, to your point, because it's all got to, you know, we've got to really get our ducks in a row to be ready for that July 1st. But, you know, I've been reassured by a broker that this is not the first time they've moved somebody from self-insured to the plan. It's not the first time they've had to manage with unions equal to or better than policies. They have many ideas about how they're going to, you know, solve some of any, you know, potential concerns down the road. You know, and the city's already taken some financial steps in this year in order to get ready for next year, as far as some additional stop loss insurance that we're able to take out that will protect us if we do make the switch and help kind of mitigate against some of those costs. As you know, I think a lot of times people want to go to the state, but they haven't really done all the things they need to do from a financial standpoint in order to make it, you know, financially viable. And we have done that because we really started talking about this a year ago. I would have liked to have done this a year ago, but it just wasn't going to be feasible. But that doesn't mean we weren't able to start to set ourselves up so that it's going to be that much more likely to happen this time around.
Not that you have this number, I'm sure you don't, but what's a ballpark of what the alternative depreciation schedule would bring in for the motor vehicles? Do you have any sort of an idea?
A little over 100,000, I think. Right. So
yeah, it wouldn't really touch that 700 if it came down to it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's something we'll take it for sure. You know, like I said, there's 300,000 working balance. You know, you could maybe, like, that to me, that's the absolute most you can maybe scrape together, but that would assume everything else breaks your way. And I don't know how it's going to happen.
Are there any other questions?
Let me just find it quick. I can't remember what it was. Oh, the town aid, Brian. That. I lost my place.
The town aid, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We, this year, the administration was able, and our corporate counsel, to negotiate a very favorable settlement from UI, right? For Salter? Yeah, from UI in order to give right away passage. We agreed that we were going to use that settlement money in order to build a salt shed for Public Works. The way mechanically it's working from an accounting standpoint is that as that money's being spent, it's hitting that town aid line on the expense side of it.
So that's the overspend.
And then you'll see is on the revenue side, you'll see it go up over there too. So you should see it on both sides, which is, you know, how we've set it up right now. Because I think it's going to be kind of in phases and things like that. So I'm not sure exactly how much is going to get done. But that's why that particular line item in this year is starting to really ramp up. And it may go as high as 260,000. So I think it was already at 90. So the rest is coming.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Sarah Wadomsky from the Board of Aldermen. May I just make one statement?
Sure.
On account number 4137 51610, the treasurer salary, I just want the tax board to be aware that the Board of Aldermen has not taken any action on that increase. It is not on any current meetings at present and is not in discussion in any of our meetings. So you could, you know, potentially, if you want to keep it on there, put it in a special working balance. But as of right now, there's no there are no meetings to discuss an increase to the treasurer's salary. Thank you.
Thank you.
She's a nice girl. Is that position even vacant, or is it vacant?
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Brian.
If it's the pleasure of the board, if you would like to pass this as the preliminary budget, certainly still allows us for discussion and for changes. However, it would allow us to schedule the public hearing next week if we want to keep this process moving along at a quicker pace. Otherwise, I'm happy to regroup again next week and answer more questions and pass the preliminary budget hearing at that point.
And Madam Chair, just for the benefit of the board members who are new, that if you pass like a preliminary number tonight, you can change it. You can make changes to it. So you're not locked in. It's just to say to fix a number. So when people come and comment, they can come and comment on what was presented or whatever you ultimately adopt, but you can then make changes.
Thank you. So item number 9, 2025-2026 preliminary budget. There was great discussion. I do appreciate the full detailed explanation. Again, Brian, thank you. Thank you, Mayor, for presenting this budget. And, you know, I know both you and this team were very interested in leaving the budget at a flat, specifically because we know residents had to endure a significant tax increase as a result of the past administration and getting us out of the hole for lack of funding for the medical, as well as the garbage removal contract that had expired. So I do appreciate where we're at. You know, definitely I like the numbers, especially as a preliminary, knowing that we do have the ability to make a change. So I am totally comfortable. I'm wondering if there's a motion on the floor with recommendation motion to accept. This is a preliminary budget for the 25-26 fiscal year.
I motion to make the preliminary budget.
Okay, a motion was made by Jen. Is there a second?
Bamini Patel.
Okay, a second by Bamini. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, just for the clarity of the record, if you would at least give the bottom line amount, you don't have to go through every line, but at least just the bottom line based on this document that was presented by the mayor and the finance director. But I don't know what it is. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I do want to just announce for both for the 24-25 fiscal original budget, it was 53,186,349. And for this year's proposed budget, it's 52,891,986. Is there a motion to approve? Motion was made by Jennifer. It was seconded by Bamini. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, team. Item number 10, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Laura, a motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion was made by Laura. Is there a second?
Ashley.
Seconded by Ashley. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a good night. The meeting is ending at 7:07 p.m.
So just for the record, it is your intention to have the public hearing next week on the 8th at 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay.